coming to us from a sister who I've just grown to appreciate more and more in the last months as I've gotten to know her and see her faith and see the way that she lives out her faith here at church and with her kids and her family. So let's warmly welcome Ruby up to give us her testimony.
Thank you, Paul. It was very encouraging to hear the testimony from Alice and Chris last Sunday. They really gave me the courage to come up here, share a little bit with you about myself, my family, and how God has worked in our life. Thank you. Thanks. God has blessed me with a wonderful family and four children. My husband is the tall gentleman back there, Owen. And Leo is the oldest. He will be 10 years old next week. Helen is going on 8 in January. Tom is 3.5, and Joe is 1.5. We live 2 blocks from this church. We came to this church about 2 years ago in October 2008. We were introduced to this church by our Christian neighbor. They attend the Mandarin congregation. We previously attended a Bible church in San Leandro, and I have been part of that church, Cantonese, Mandarin, and English congregation for over 20 years. When I came to this church, I immediately feel it's a big blessing that this church also serves the Cantonese, the Mandarin, and the English speaking. It's immediately a very warm welcome for me. We came here during a time of many transitions in our life. You know, a month after we came here, I got laid off from a job that I had worked for 13 years. And then we found out we were expecting a fourth child, Joe. And we always felt that Owen has a very secure job at the university at Berkeley until 2009, when the university had layoff in many departments and even furloughs for almost all staff. So all these unexpected changes, uncertainties, make us feel very insecure during that time period. So these past 2 years, it has been a process of learning to trust God, a time of reflecting on many changes that happen in our life and reevaluating what is important in our life. You know, becoming a stay-home mom in these past 2 years, it wasn't completely an easy adjustment for me. You know, mentally, I struggled with finding a job and wanting to go back to work. I had worked full-time for 16 years, and I took a maternity leave for Leo, Helen, and Tom, and went back to work. So when I got laid off, stayed home with my children, I kind of struggled with finding the significance of being a full-time mom at home. You know, to be honest, the children are not always pleasant to be around. They have little self-control. A lot of times they seem to just care about food and play. They don't seem to care about us too much sometimes. I wonder how much easier it would be to raise kids, you know, if they would simply listen, obey, and cooperate with us. So, but at this church, I'm thankful that we heard many messages that address our needs in our life. You know, if I have to identify with someone in the Bible, I would have to say that I have been a martyr for almost all my life. Some of you are probably familiar with the story in Luke 10. There's a story about Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She has a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, I can really relate to Martha. If Jesus had come to my home, I would probably have said to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my husband and my kids have left me to do all the work by myself? Tell them to help me. Actually, Owen has been a very helpful, wonderful husband. He helps with cooking, cleaning. He spends a lot of time with the kids and disciplining them. But I guess he and the kids just don't see the endless words that I see need to be worked on. And like Martha, I get frustrated when things don't get done. And Owen once said, if I'm not out shopping for food, I'm cleaning the house, I'm taking the kids somewhere, or I'm working outside on my garden. So even at our old church, I used to be a busy Martha, just involving in multiple ministries. So I guess I seldom sit down like Mary and relax and simply enjoy the Lord's presence. And I have to say that I'm glad that Owen has a personality more like Mary. It's much easier for him to sit down, rest, without thinking about doing this or that. You know, I should thank God that our differences, thank God for our differences in our personality, our skills and perspectives. Because we really do complement and balance each other. Sometimes I wish he would encourage me to sit down, maybe listen to him sharing. You know, I can't completely change the Martha personality that's in me. I still want to, you know, do this and just see the endless things that I feel need to be done. But I'm learning to be more like Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and enjoyed the Lord's presence. I consciously choose to take a break, rest, take a nap with my kids, enjoy God's presence, creation, you know, go out, you know, be with friends without hurrying on to the next task, take time out to pray with Angie and Kathy every week. That has been a wonderful encouragement to me. With the Thanksgiving coming up, I want to thank God for the gospel that make it possible for us to enjoy the relationship with God and with other Christians. And I'm so glad that, you know, our salvation is a lifelong process. We're saved not only at the moment when we truly believe and when we pray to accept Jesus as our Savior. Because of our sin, we're daily being saved by God's grace and the work that Jesus completed on the cross for us. And I'm thankful that God gave us a family here that we can encourage, care, and love each other. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruby. That was really wonderful. And as a Martha in my DNA too, I sympathize and appreciate all the love and caring you show to our church. Our next testimony is from a high school student, right? Yeah, a high school student who I remember meeting when she was a precocious elementary school kid who liked to draw math problems on the board here at church after Sunday school and other kinds of weird puzzles. And so I love talking to Anita. We're going to hear from Anita. Let's welcome her up.
Folded your testimony.
Here's my testimony. It's all messed up now. I'm really glad my parents aren't here to be listening to this. Because this is... Hello. It doesn't even work. Okay. So when I was asked to do a testimony, at first I made a face, and Paul laughed because I made a face. And I thought he was kidding, but he wasn't really. So... when I wrote, I didn't actually write my testimony because I'm a procrastinator. I didn't do this until yesterday. But I really did think it through throughout the week what I was going to say. And I didn't really think that I had much to say, but like apparently I did. because when I started writing, I just kind of just kept writing, and I didn't really sort it out. But it started when I was at school, and I was thinking about this, and a bunch of girls passed by, and they were whining about how their text messages don't work anymore. And that made me really mad, because I didn't like people who were needy, who wanted attention all the time, because I thought they were being big crybabies. And when I was younger, as my old friend Kevin over there knows, I lived in Guam, but I had to move a lot because my dad had a lot of job transfers. So I moved 6 times and in different places. And part of it was fun because I got to meet with new people. But part of it wasn't fun because I always had to break up with all the friends I made. And I didn't really like it, and of course at first I was complaining about it to my parents, but it was obvious I couldn't really do anything about it. So afterwards I didn't complain about it anymore. I didn't like how we always had to go to different schools. I didn't like how I always had to meet new people. I was okay at it. I had a lot of friends, but there were friends that I never got to stay with for a long time. So recently, my dad got another job transfer to LA, but this time we didn't want to move because my school district in San Ramon was really good. So my dad isn't living with us anymore. He lives in LA, and he comes back every 2 weeks. And I didn't like that either because he wouldn't be here anymore. So, but I never complained about it because, like I said, I hated people who were complaining. And I didn't like writing this in my testimony either because I felt like by saying it, I would be complaining already. And I was being needy. To be needy was the weakest thing to me is what you could do. I mean, if you had problems, just keep it to yourself. I mean, I'm sure you could think of it eventually, but stop telling other people about it. I didn't want to make the impression that my life was difficult because it really wasn't. My parents worked really hard and they did it for me. They made sure I had a good house because I have like a really huge house. They made sure I had a good education and I really liked my school. And they made sure I get to go to Europe on my 9th birthday. So I knew that my parents worked hard for me, and I didn't think I ever had a reason to complain about it, so I never did. But throughout this time, I started growing distant from God because my parents are Christians, and I was raised as a pretty good Christian. But I always thought of God as the controller of the universe. It's up there somewhere. And I'm just down here, and there's like a lot of people in the world. I couldn't be considered as something in this great world. So I did pray every night because I was taught to do that. I didn't read the Bible because I was taught to do that, but I never really bothered to do it. So then I grew more and more distant from God. And every Sunday I went to church, but what was in Sunday school was that they gave us worksheets and we just had to answer questions in the back. And then we would have a discussion about it afterwards. And I would be the one to answer all the questions because I was pretty Bible literate, so to speak. And when I didn't say anything, all the other kids wouldn't say anything either. And I thought they were kind of stupid because I know this is being really mean, but I thought those other kids, because it was like right there in the paper. It's like written for you. It's nothing hard to figure out. But they wouldn't say anything. Just so they wouldn't say anything. When I first came to our church in Hawk 6, it was when I moved from LA to Fremont. And then I didn't stay for very long. Well, 3 years was a pretty long time. That was a new record. I moved again to San Ramon, and I didn't think I would be coming back to this church anymore. But we did, and every Sunday, without fail, we took that extra 30-minute trouble to drive all the way back here. My mom and dad would be in their Mandarin congregation, and I would be in Sunday school. So, but I got older, and I graduated to the English congregation, which I thought was just grown-up Sunday school, instead of worksheets talking to us, it would be a person talking to us. My mom also suggested that I go to that Bible study that happens on Fridays. So I went there too. And actually, it was unexpectedly fun. We played games in the beginning, and I thought the games would be the most interesting part of the night. And then it moved to discussion. And in these discussions, they didn't ask me questions to answer. They asked me to ask questions. Like, what did I want to know? And this was something new, because I never thought what I wanted to know. I just thought I just had to know these things. So then I started thinking about it, and I started asking questions. But when I started asking questions, I started getting really mad at God again. I asked, why did I have to move all the time? Why did my parents always have to work so late? How come there's genocide in Darfur? How come God was so nice to these rich people and so mean to these poor people? I mean, it just wasn't fair, and I didn't like things being fair. I didn't like a lot of things, apparently. But as I asked these questions, it also expressed all this doubt I had of God, that I actually mattered something to God. I felt like I was like a chess piece, and I was just playing through with my life, and God was just almost mocking me up there, mocking me. But then it also started the relationship that God actually was in my life, that God would be a part of my life, and that every time I had to tell a friend I had to move, he was there. And every time I had to go to a new house, he was there. I feel weird talking about this because I feel like I'm complaining about it. But, I think God really does want to give me things that I'd never asked for, but he would give it to me anyway because I'm his creation and he cares about me. And I'm still asking a lot of questions, and I still feel like I'm not getting answers. But what starts is that I believe that God actually would listen to me, even though I sometimes feel like he doesn't. And I would feel like he would be with me, even though I'd rather be alone. I would rather not have anyone following me. That I wanted to believe I could do things by myself, even though God seemed like he wasn't there. But he's always there in case I really did needed somebody to depend on. So that's just the beginning, actually. It's hard to say it's the end. Testimony of this.
Thanks, Anita. Even as a fifth grader, she seemed to be philosophizing about far beyond her age. Thank you for sharing all the things going on in your heart. Next testimony I'm excited to hear is from a brother who would rarely give you the opportunity to say this, but let me just say it now. I love this brother. He's great. And if I had said that in any other context, it would be extremely awkward. but I'm thankful that he's part of our church. Let's welcome Edmund up.
So that's been four great testimonies. So I don't want to cheat you guys, but I am, because I'm kind of rehashing my testimony from last year. But not all of you guys were there, so I guess it'll be new to some. All right. I thought I'd be green, you know, and save paper, but it's so hard to read off my phone. I've become like, ever since I got it, it's been... Yeah, I've been so reliant on the smartphone, I've become more dumb, actually. Because I'm just looking at the screen, and people are just like, what are you doing? But, so if I'm struggling to read, it's because I can't see. All right, let me see. I think I just lost it. Technical difficulties. Sorry, hold on. Why now? No, I seriously had it. But anyways, all right, whatever. No, seriously, it was like 5 seconds ago. It was right there. Anyways, basically, I was raised in a Christian family, I guess. We went to this Lutheran church in Oakland. It was a bilingual one, so that's why we went. And my parents would go, and I just, you know, wasn't old enough to say no or stay at home, so I went with them. And I'd go to Sunday school with them. I mean, I went to Sunday school. They went to, you know, the service. But I wouldn't really say I learned anything, you know. I probably had, you know, some ADD or something, because I rarely paid attention and I learned anything. So finally, you know, I got to the age, I don't know, probably like 12 or something, where I was basically old enough to stay at home, basically. So I stayed home, and, you know, and that's where I discovered football, you know. So Sunday mornings, you know, I'd be watching football, and then once my parents gave me the option of, do you want to watch football? I mean, do you want to stay home, or do you want to go to church? You know, I chose to just watch football. And so that was, you know, basically, you know, from 12 to, like, the teens. But then for whatever reason, my parents stopped going to church also. I think some past or whatever. I wasn't without God during this time, because I actually went to a Catholic high school in Hayward, Monroe Catholic. So I actually got, you know, lessons about God, morality, theology, you know, 50 minutes a day for 4 years, you know. You know, required mandatory classes, but, and masses once a month. But you know, like, similar, but, you know, there's, you know, obviously some philosophical differences, but pretty much that's where I got my foundation on God, basically. And so then, you know, after, you know, graduating high school and went off to Irvine for college, I didn't go to church. My roommate tried getting me to church, but I just wasn't interested, you know. So then, finally, I graduated college, and I moved back. So during this time, I guess my family started going to church. Like, Alice, if you guys don't know, Alice is my cousin. And then, I guess, like, my grandparents go here. Both sets. My parents, they're really in the Cantonese congregation. So basically, my whole family came. Except, you know, me and my brother. I have another brother, if you guys didn't know, also. But he's not a Christian. But anyways, so again, you know, I just resumed, you know, football duties, you know, Sundays. Sundays with football. But this time, you know, instead of just my parents asking me to come every time, my sister Denise would also ask me. So it was basically, you know, twice every Sunday, like, you want to come to church? And I'm like, maybe next time, you know? And then, you know, so a little background. So it takes a lot for me just to, you know, let anyone in, you know. You can tell, like, you know, I have a wall sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, and that you won't get through to the, you know, the inner surfaces of me, you know, unless you keep prying, you know, keep chipping away until you get, you know, remove one layer after the next, you know, like an onion or something. So, you know, so my family kept asking me, you know, so they're slowly, you know, trying to get me to go, you know, removing layers at a time. And then I don't know when or, but finally one Sunday I just said, okay, I'll go, you know, I'll go check it out. So I came, and, you know, I was like, you know, it's not bad, you know. Paul and Wayne, I don't know who else was here, but okay. A lot of people have come and gone, but anyways, I went to this church, and then they already knew who I was, you know. I was like, how do they know me? I don't even know these people, you know. But it was just very amazing that they knew who I was. It's because my sister was sharing about her life. And, you know, obviously, and since I'm her brother, she's sharing about me also to, you know, these strangers that I didn't know who they were, but they, yet they knew I was, you know, Denise's brother. And, you know, so this is really fascinating that strangers could take an interest or a care to, like, who I was, whereas, you know, this is, like, the first time I met them, you know. So, one week, it was like, okay, that's, you know, it's not bad. I'll try it out again. And I thought, you know, just give it a trial basis. And then, you know, 1 week became 2 months, year. Now it's been, what, almost 7 years? And now, you know, instead of, like, being, you know, the new person, like, I'm obviously one of the older people now. So it's just been really amazing. So, I mean, so this whole process, you know, it's just been like God just removing layers and, you know, like my wall, you know, like God's always been there, but he just, you know, as I was just taking my time away from him, he was slowly working his way back through, you know, my family, through you guys, you know, and slowly, you know, slowly but surely, you know, working your ways into me, you know. And like I like in my last year, I mean, when I was doing this testimony, you know, I likened to, like, you know, once I open up to you, you know, you're in trouble, because you're pretty much stuck with me, you know. Otherwise, you know. But so like once I first started, you know, I definitely wouldn't have imagined my journey with God and with you guys being this way, because now I'm on my third year with Young Disciples. I wouldn't have thought that I'd be able to lead some youth. I still don't think I can, but I mean, it's definitely a struggle, but an enjoyable process. And I'm just really fortunate that I have my brothers and sisters here with you guys, you know, just having my church family walk with me as I continue to grow and discover God. And that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Edmund. That was really great. And you never did get your phone to show up, huh? So that was all off the noggin. That was really good. All right. Our last testimony this morning, certainly not least, is from Angie Stillman. So she actually has slides. This is really great. So let's welcome Angie up. All right.
This is a story that I enjoy telling people. So if you have heard part of it, please bear with me. After I graduate from my high school, I intend to go to New Zealand. I turned down the admission from the college in Singapore and submitted all the required paperwork to the embassy of New Zealand. Everything went well, so I thought I was set to go. What I did not expect was that one day I received a phone call from the embassy staff, who told me that I was not allowed to go to study in New Zealand because of my citizenship. And New Zealand, at the time, they decided to recognize mainland China and not Taiwan anymore. So I applied to the U.S. in a rush and decided to go to University of Tennessee at Knoxville. The only problem was the school dormitories were all full. And the college's international house recommended me to join a host family at that time. So I went ahead with the program. On arriving in the U.S., I first went to Tekoa, Georgia, the small town hardly could find any Asians. The local newspaper wanted to interview me. The elementary school invited me to talk about Chinese culture. And a Christian women club held parties for me. Among all these activities, I did share my worry with my host family in Georgia that was looking for a place to stay at the campus. And I was touched. Not only did my host family pray for me, the whole church prayed for me. Very soon, we were told that a Chinese Christian group from Nashville were going to hold in a retreat at Tekoa, Georgia. Then they brought me back to the campus, and one lady was looking for a roommate, and so I moved in. It just seemed too good to be true. And the following year, I came back to join the retreat with the speaker was Bishop Gore, the founder of Home of Christ in Taipei. So apparently, I was the first one who joined the host family at Tekoa, and thereafter, more families waiting to open their homes to the foreign students. While I was in college, the International House suggested me to join the host family program again. And this is how I get to meet Mr. and Mrs. Karen. And during all my college years, they generously open their home when the dormitories close during holidays. They took me to see great Smoky Mountains and many famous resorts. However, the most important thing, I get to see a very happy Christian family, and they read the Bible every day into their daily life. Until today, I still remember how often they say thank you and please to each other. So praise the Lord, our friendship continue today, and I would like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to this wonderful Christian family, and congratulations to their 42nd anniversary, and they are going home tomorrow, and well, hoping for the best for them. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Angie. And thank you, Currens, for your role in bringing Angie along in the faith. I'm sure Doug thanks you as well. And so do all of us. I think that all of these stories are examples of ways that we may be different ages, we may be from different places, we may have different experiences, but God has indeed interwoven our lives in a tapestry of grace that that is our church, and we praise God for it and give Him all the glory. That's what we're about. So would you guys stand with me to pray? And Matt and Elaine, you guys can get ready. Lord, we just thank you for the stories that we heard today. God, Ruby sharing about her experiences of coming to this church and the struggles, God, of raising four kids and leaving work behind, and how you've been faithfully teaching her and guiding her to just sit at your feet and to hear you say how much you love her. Thank you, Lord, for Anita and God in the midst of moving to so many places and feeling often so many goodbyes that she's had to say, that you have shown her grace and just been in her life and let her know that things in life may be inconstant, but you are always there. Thank you, Lord, for Edmund and for calling him and drawing him back, for peeling back all the layers of his heart and penetrating deep and speaking to him and bringing him into our community and making him just the rock of a brother that he is. And Lord, I just want to thank you for Angie and the way that you work things out in her circumstances to make it possible for her to come here to the States, to know you, to join our church, Home of Christ, and to be just the aroma of Christ and of your love and mercy that she is in our community. And God, and just like these four, we know that every person in here, God, has a story, a way that you have worked. And God, those stories are testaments to your glory and goodness. And so we pray that we would continue to be able to tell our stories and to continue to remember and to give praise to you, God, for your faithfulness. And that, God, that would teach us to live in you as we go forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.